verse number 2. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Sanyasa Karma Yogascha. Nishreyasa Karavubhau. Tayostu Karma Sanyasat. Karma Yogo Vishishyate. Together, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Sanyasa Karma Yogascha, Nishreyasa Karavubhau, Tayostu Karma Sanyasat, Karma Yogo Vishishyate. So, Shri Bhagavan, the Lord said, watch. Sannyasa and Karma Yoga, that was Arjuna's question. Renunciation of action or doing unselfish actions, Karma Yoga. Nishreya, they are both, Shreya means good, Nishreya means absolute good, Karau. So they will take you to the absolute good. Both are very good, Ubhav, those both are excellent and the highest. But, Tayo, but of these two, Karma Sanyasat, compared to Karma Sanyas, Karma Yogo Vishishyate. So Bhagavan says Karma Yoga is better than Karma Sanyas. And so far, he had been saying Sanyas is better than Yoga. Why is he saying the opposite? Is Bhagavan confused or is there some printing mistake? You know, we think there might be a printing error. Maybe Bhagavan meant to say Karma Yogat Karma Sanyasa Vishishyate. No, he's saying it very clearly. And why is he telling Arjuna this? Because in Karma Yoga, we have to go beyond likes and dislikes. So that is the first step. Because I dislike, like if even, say, working in this mission, I don't like to do this. I like to do this. So this is what I like to work in the library, or I like to work in the kitchen, or I like to do puja. And then when that work is taken away from me, then if I get upset, that means I still need to grow. Whatever work comes to me, I should do. Whatever job has been assigned to do, I should do without likes and dislikes. So that is preparatory. And my goal should be clear to me. What am I expecting? If I want to serve the world, like a lot of these social workers, you know, who work, that's wonderful. I want to serve the world. I want to become a great social servant. That is wonderful. Or if my goal is enlightenment, then my duties are different, as we talked about. There's a change of duties. And Arjuna had seen, as we said, that people who take sannyas have to wear orange clothes. And they are both equally good. And they are both preparatory. Karma Sanyas and Karma Yoga both prepare me for the higher. But the question is, to whom is this knowledge being given? So, Bhagavan Krishna was talking to Arjuna. Now, Arjuna was not at a level where he is ready for Sanyas. So, that's why he tells him, for you, Karma Yoga Vishishyate. You need to do Karma Yoga. You are not ready. But if somebody else had asked him, say there was a student who was highly evolved, and then he asked Bhagavan Shri Krishna, what path should I say? He'll say, yeah, for you, karma, sannyas, like in the Prashnopanishad, if you remember, I talked about Pipalad Muni, the 6 students come to him, and they are at different levels. The first one asks about creation and the world. So Muniji knows that he is still in the level of the world and creation. So he talks to him about creation, about Rayi and, you know, prana and, you know, matter and energy and all that, and how the world was created and how it. And then the 6th student asks about the highest goal. So then the Rishi says, for him, he's ready for the highest knowledge, while this person is not. So he's ready for Karma Yoga. So to whom are we talking? Like somebody says, should I learn Sanskrit or not? You know, why are you, what is your goal in learning Sanskrit? Do you want to become a college professor? or do you want to read the scriptures, or do you want to, or just want to learn as a skill? Okay, I know, you know, English, Hindi, Punjabi, and Gujarati. Now I want to know Sanskrit. So the goal has to be very clear when we are studying. And as long as we are in the family, Karma Yoga has to become the primary. Like somebody approached Gurudev and he had two small children. But he was so inspired by Gurudev. He said, Gurudev, I want to give up my family. I want to come and stay in your ashram and study for 2 years and become a sannyasi. Gurudev said, no way. You are not doing that. Who asked you to bring two children into the world? You brought these two little children. Take care of them. When the youngest one graduates college, then you come. Then I will be. But then somebody says, Buddha left. You know, he left his wife and children. But if you remember, Buddha voluntarily never got married because his father was told that either he'll become a great sannyasi or become a great king. And his father didn't want him to become a sannyasi. So he sheltered him from the world, didn't let him see the world. At age 15 or 16, he was married off. And before he knew it, he had a child already. So it was an involuntary, and the moment he discovered that there is sorrow, he saw the old man and the sick man and the death, he said, I don't want this. So he did not choose a wife and a child. It was thrust upon him. But generally, if we have chosen a family, then it is our duty to serve, take care of our family, exhaust our vasanas, our tendencies, and as we evolve, go from Karma Yoga to Karma Sannyas. So gradually renounce. And like we talked about those people who are in like Darshana Ben and Gaurang Bhai, as they have grown, their full life is devoted towards service. What we do, that I'm sitting for meditation, you know, I'm sitting, okay, I start Om, and then I'm chanting Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, as my mind becomes quiet, I start thinking of the Lord and I am the Self. And then suddenly I think, it's a little cold here. Maybe a warm cup of tea would be good before I can continue my meditation. So I get up, let me go make. And then I say, tea alone? It's afternoon. Let me make some hot pakoras, you know, some fritters. After a tea, and by that time, 1 hour is gone, your mind. So the point is that if you are ready for meditation, not that I'm, you know, putting it down. If that's what your goal is, tea and pakora, very good. But when I'm eating tea and pakora, I should say Brahmarpanam. This is Brahman. The tea is Brahman and I am Brahman. And the goal of after the tea is I should serve and reach Brahman. And the point is, when you start meditation, these thoughts will happen. These, because I have these vasanas. So they say you have to rise over the thoughts. Rise above the thoughts through the right knowledge, and thoughts will come, and be very patient with your mind. You're sitting for puja or you're sitting for meditation and your mind is not there on God, or your mind is not. So bring the mind slowly back. That's what we will study in the 6th chapter. Bring it back. I also do that when I sit for meditation. Some days the mind is so peaceful and so quiet, and some day it is very especially Sunday morning is very hard because my mind is full of all these thoughts. What am I going to teach? But these thoughts are divine too. There's nothing wrong with them, you know, to think about the Bhagavad Gita on Sunday morning. So question is, do I want to like to dress up? You know, if I want to, then that's good. Nothing wrong with that. Do whatever worldly activities you have to do, dedicate it to the Lord. Lord, you are the one who has given me everything. Through my whatever money I have, whatever talents I have, whether I'm a doctor or engineer or lawyer, I'm serving you. Every patient, every customer, every client that comes is Lord Himself. So do that, and as your mind slowly, slowly becomes pure, your vasanas become less, spend more and more time in study. People say, I don't want overdose. Once a week, Bhagavad Gita is enough. Sunday morning, I go listen. No, that's not enough. Even if we are householders, it is our duty every day to do some swadhyaya. Swadhyaya pravachanabhyam na pramaditavyam. In the Upanishad, the teacher tells the students that after you have studied, do not stop studying. So daily it is our duty to study Bhagavad Gita or any other spiritual text. Daily I should study, and that is very, very important. We're not saying that you make it day and night. Of course, we have to enjoy life and go out and have fun. Nothing wrong with that, going to a movie or dinner or parties. But some, at least half an hour to 1 hour every day in self-study, and then maybe about 20 minutes in meditation. So gradually, this process, so slowly our river, which is only running towards the world, slowly I have to direct it towards God. So just as I'm all the while running into objects, emotions and thoughts, so you make a U-turn and turn your mind slowly towards the Lord. And the essence of Vedanta, which we of course we have heard before, is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithva Jagan Mithya Brahm Jivo Brahmaiva Napara. So the Brahman alone is real. That alone is the eternal, permanent. This world is an appearance upon that Brahman. So that is the essence of Vedanta. And there is no difference between Jiva and Brahman. Jiva is just an expression of Brahman. So me and God are not separate. I don't think of God as sitting somewhere in heaven and I am this useless creature. God is in me, as Om, as consciousness. So over the next few months, as we study, especially chapter 6, 7 and 8, this idea that Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya will become more clearer. So if at this moment it seems, you know, some ridiculous idea, some rishi sitting somewhere thousands of years ago came up with it, but as we study, this idea will become more clearer. So that is the essence, and it needs time. And that's why regular study and regular self-study is very important. We also have some study groups. We have one on Wednesday night, and then there is a ladies study group on Tuesday at 12. So if you have time, join those study groups. That will also help. And of course, as Sunday class, of course, we should all attend. So we have time. Any questions or any comments? I tried to explain the difference between Karma Yoga and Karma Sannyas, but it will become more clear in the next few weeks. Any comments, any questions, anything you want to add or agree, disagree? Okay, that also, and then also another place they say Jivo Brahmaiva Napara.
I think the reason I like that Parokar Punya, I think it defines right. The sin and what is good.
Yes.
So I think if you just take those two and work on it, I think you are kind of done.
Exactly.
You know, like don't hurt anybody. And when you hurt someone, that's sin.
Right.
And when you help somebody, that's Punya. I think if you take that, that's the most simplest definition that I see.
Mm-hmm. Now that's wonderful. Yeah. Now that's wonderful, but then you still have to go one step beyond.
I understand, but that's, to me, it's like work on not hurting anyone, that's the first
step. Right, right.
Don't hurt anyone.
Right, right, absolutely.
If you can help someone, that's...
Right, right.
I think with those two...
Right, right. So that is step one. That is stage one.
Right.
And that is wonderful. Yeah, that is what all the religions teach us. But then they also tell you to go beyond.
Right.
To who is the one that is being hurt? And who is the one that is hurting? So when, that's why Raman Maharishi, when anybody told him, I have a problem. So he says, to who has the problem? He said, I have. So who are you? He says, well, I am Ramachandran. Are you really Ramchandran? No, that was a name given to you. So what you really are. So that is the stage two. But yeah, that is absolutely correct. I 100% agree that the first stage is to improve my behavior towards the world, recognizing that the one I'm hurting is me. Just as if I hurt my own hand or if I slap my own face, you know, they will consider him a fool. But if I hurt somebody else, that is equivalent to that. Yes, so that is evolution. Yeah, thank you. Very good point. Yes.
The one who commits like sins and does the karma catch up with them eventually, even if they become realized, like someone who sins and then becomes realized and they reform? But doesn't do the sins go away, or do they?
Yeah, if you realize, I think we talked about that 2 weeks ago, then that individual no longer exists. Like Ratnakar, you know, that thief, when he became Valmiki, then all of Ratnakar's murders are no longer affecting Valmiki, because that Ratnakar is dead, the ego is dead. See, who has committed the sin? The ego has. Once the ego is over, it's, as I talked about, like a criminal who is under trial for murder. And if the criminal dies, he's still not been convicted. And there is nobody left to try them. Of course, he will have to pay for the murder in his next life, because the ego is still there. But if you become a realized master, that is the only exception where you go beyond karmas. So no sanchit karma and no agami karma. There are no past karmas, no future karmas. But the prarabdha, the present karmas of this life, even a saint has to undergo. That's why, this Ramakrishna Paramahans had this terrible throat cancer, very painful. But then they don't identify with the body. They say, my body has cancer. I am not the body. I am that immortal Atma. But yes, for a realized master, there is no karmas at all. Because all his sanchita. So they say, oh, that's very good. Let me become realized. Yes. If you become realized, if you become like Gurudev or Jesus or Buddha, that's wonderful. We'll have one more realized master. But for the rest of us, we have to, every karma you have to pay for. Because the individual is no longer existing. Like his name was Balakrishna Menon. But once he realized, he became Swami Chinmayananda, then there was no Balakrishna Menon existing. So whatever karmas Balakrishna had done, no longer affect him. Or like Narendranath, when he became Swami Vivekananda after meeting Ramakrishna Paramhans, then whatever Narendranath has done is already dead. Because Narendranath is dead. See, a new person has taken birth called Swami Vivekananda. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Is the concept of sannyas clear, or there's still some doubts? We'll be spending a lot more time in the next few weeks on this, what exactly they mean by sannyas. Nyasa means to throw. I think Swami Ishwarananji always says that. And sannyas means to throw very well. So one who has thrown the world away is called a sannyasi. So he has thrown this family life and all that, but he has taken on a new life and new duties until he becomes enlightened. Until then, he has to do duty. He has to do guru seva. He has to study the scriptures. He has to contemplate, meditate, and then he has to serve the mission or the organization. He has to teach. All those duties are there. And then once he becomes an enlightened master like Gurudev, then he may choose to serve or may not choose to serve. See, until then, you have to, and then all of these, like Guruji, Tejomayananji, and Ishwarananji, and all, they're highly evolved, enlightened masters, but they still continue to serve as a service to their Gurudev. Because Gurudev has given this knowledge, so it is our duty. So they continue to serve no matter how evolved or how enlightened they have become. Yes.
Let's say you're really a really bad person, you know, in your life, maybe a murderer even, but then you realize that it was really wrong, and so you begin living a good life. But you're not enlightened. You don't get
right.
You don't reach that stage. Well, will the karmas be as? Will you lessen the karmas?
Yes.
Have to?
Yes, they say that if you have done a lot of good karmas in this life, or say in this part of if you have done so much good karmas, then the Lord will help you to withstand the effects, the evil effects of your bad karmas. Because if you have done lot of prayer, lot of, you know, bhakti, done lot of service, change your life completely, change your thoughts. Once you become a devotee, Then the Lord says, you are my responsibility. Then he will take care of you. Yoga kshema vahamyaham. You are not yet enlightened, but if your mind is full of love, that's why even today's verse, he says that then it is my duty to save you. So yes, the sorrows will come. Nobody can escape the karma yoga, but the Lord will lessen the load. How? Maybe he will send someone to help you, or he will somehow make you strong enough. That is, I am a devotee of the Lord. This karma is coming. It's because of my past action. Then the karma has less effect on him, because most of the trauma and the karma comes to the mind. You know, it's emotional. But if my mind is full of God, then let it happen. Then I am not affected. So slowly he makes you stronger. Or he will make situation in such a way that the karma will not affect you as such. Or he will send somebody to remove that karma, or somehow the karma will be modified so it won't affect you. Yes, but yeah, you cannot escape the karma only if you're an enlightened master. But if you change, that's why he says sadhu revasa mantavya. And then he also says in the next verse, shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachati konteya prati janihi nome bhaktav pranashyati. He says that a person who once he has decided to be on my path, he becomes kshipram. Very soon he becomes a dharmatma. He becomes a pure soul and he reaches that shanti. You know why? Because I protect him. Konteya prati janihi nome bhakta pranashyati. My devotee never perishes. Then it is my responsibility. So if you turn your life to him, then he said, tu sambhal. Then he will take care of it. And he does. The more you look for his presence, the more it will come. Constantly, every moment, his blessings are upon us, his grace is upon us. Our problem is we don't have eyes to see. But if you start looking, you will see his hand everywhere, how lovingly he's carrying us. And even when there are things that I think are not good for me, it is because it is a medicine that is required for me to evolve. So a bhakta, even in his suffering or sorrow, what average person considers sorrow, he realizes this is God's blessing. And I must have needed patience. That's why this particular individual came in my life. Not why did this individual come, but there was some deficiency in me to correct which, whoever comes in my life, whoever comes, whether it's my child, my spouse, my boss, my co-worker, everything is meant for me to grow. And if I take that everything is an opportunity for me to grow, then there is no sorrow. It is just like if I have to take a bitter medicine, do I complain? No, it's a bitter. Or if I have to get a painful shot, I say, go ahead and give it because it's good for me. The doctor has my interest at heart. So if we see the divine doctor, and even if I get a painful injection or some sorrow in life, it's a way for me to grow. So take all sorrows as an opportunity to grow. Then the sorrow will lose its hold on you. Because most sorrows are mental. Physical there are. Physical you can take Tylenol if you are in pain. But mental sorrows are more difficult to overcome. But if you take it as an opportunity to grow, then thank you. That's a good point. I hope I try my best to answer the question. If something is not clear, we can always ask Swamiji when they come. Every month we have some teacher or the other coming.